Good morning, Ben.
Good morning.
Now, why are the terms of the United Kingdom's European Union membership being negotiated in the first place, especially considering that Prime Minister David Cameron once called a referendum the wrong answer for Britain?
Yes, there's been a considerable shift here, but you're right when you say that for some years now, particularly within the Conservative Party, but also driven by a new insurgent party called the United Kingdom Independence Party, which campaigned solely on the basis of getting Britain out of the EU, the issue has really come to the top of the political agenda. And people in Britain, particularly in the right wing of the Conservative Party and the UK Independence Party, have been dismissive or openly hostile towards Britain's membership of the EU for some years. They think it infringes the United Kingdom's sovereignty, they think it infringes its democracy, and they ultimately think that despite the fact of the free trade area, in fact, more than that, the single market that the EU is, Britain would be better off out. And all those pressures built up to force David Cameron to reverse his position on a referendum, which he thought was initially a bad idea, and concede that. And that's why we're having a referendum in the United Kingdom in June, as you say. So all those pressures have built up to create the situation that we're in.
The Prime Minister says that the treaty will change with the EU. The Prime Minister says that the treaty change with the EU will reform the relationship. So what are some of the changes that have come out of the renegotiations, and how significant are they?
Well, first of all, in your question of significance, I mean, the changes have been described as not transformative, but neither trivial, and I think that's right. So those changes pertain to Britain's commitment to what's called the process of ever closer union. So Britain will no longer, if this is passed, Britain will no longer have to be involved in any further increase in political unity in Europe. So the idea that some in Europe want a kind of a federal United States of Europe. Britain wouldn't be a part of that. Britain also does not have the single currency, the euro, and what David Cameron negotiated are some special protections, really, for Britain and other non-Eurozone countries. So that's quite significant. Also, in terms of the referendum campaign, Cameron negotiated a curb, if you like, on migrants from other parts of the European Union claiming benefits whilst in work in the United Kingdom and sending those benefits back to their home countries. So in some ways, these are a significant reform of the relationship of the United Kingdom to the EU. They're not really a reform of the EU as much itself, and that some people see that as a missed opportunity. So they're not trivial, they're not transformative. They really address the UK's relationship with the EU rather than the EU as a whole. And that may have been a lost opportunity.
So the new terms from the renegotiation limits the power of Brussels in the UK. Are European politicians, including EU President Donald Tusk, satisfied with the deal then?
Well, I think Donald Tusk, who had to negotiate this with the United Kingdom and the other 27 members of the European Union, is satisfied with this. Of course, the deal that was agreed at the very end of last week after 2 days of intense negotiations was unanimously agreed upon, so we could say at that level people are happy. What I think has happened is that these negotiations have showed the different meaning that is attached to Europe and being European across the EU. Central European countries like Poland, the Czech Republic, were puzzled that their citizens were treated as migrants in the British mind. You know, to them, they were fellow European citizens who were merely using what is their right in Europe to live and work anywhere within the EU. So that was a little bit different. The French were worried about, if you like, not just protecting their banks, but the notion of European solidarity, the idea that you can have Europe what they call a la carte, you know, just like a menu, I want this bit and that bit and that the other bit, doesn't work for them, and the Belgians were the same. And even the Germans, you hear mutterings within Angela Merkel's party that, you know, the British are getting special treatment. I love this word. They call it extraverst, you know, extra sausage, that the Germans are getting, the British are getting special treatment. So it has caused some tensions. It would be a major thing if Britain did come out. That would really change the European Union rather than the terms of this negotiation. This deal, which has altered the relationship between the United Kingdom and the EU.
just yesterday, the Mayor of London, Boris Johnson, came out against EU membership regardless of the deal supporting the Eurosceptics, which is at odds with David Cameron's position on a reformed EU. How do these endorsements impact upon the referendum? Sorry, impact the referendum on EU membership in terms of the campaign?
Well, look, I think, first of all, when David Cameron came back from Brussels with his deal, he was able to say what I think his position had been for a long time, that he wanted to stay in a reformed EU. And he got some concessions there, that's true. I think that the Leave campaign, which we should note is divided and has thus far lacked a kind of a real figurehead, will be boosted by Boris Johnson's announcement that he will campaign to leave the EU. Before that time, there have been some significant ministerial alignments with the Leave campaign. But this really, in some ways, opens up that conflict within the Conservative Party around two really key figures, Cameron and Johnson. Johnson's long been sceptical of the European Union, but he was keeping his powder dry during the lead-up to the negotiation. And so there is a suspicion here that maybe he's doing this with an eye to being the future Prime Minister, because David Cameron has pledged not to stand again at the next election in 2020. So there's a mixture of principle and political positioning, I think, going on here. But Johnson is an asset for the Leave campaign.
And just before we let you go, current polling shows that the British people want to stay in the EU by a slim margin. What is your prediction, I guess, looking into the crystal ball here, of the likely outcome of the Brexit referendum?
Yes, look, I think that those polls probably reflect the settled opinion. I think that now that any kind of negotiation is done, a lot of people will be able to say, well, it's better now than it was. I didn't like the original status quo, but I will vote for this reformed EU. The odds will narrow. If we think about the Scottish referendum, the odds will narrow as we near the polling date, but they may diverge again a little bit actually when we get to polling day itself. So, the odds on favour is still that Britain will remain in the EU with this reformed relationship. But there's 4 months to go. Lots could happen. If there's a refugee influx, for example, that could destabilise the whole campaign. So, a week is a long time in politics. So is 4 months. So let's see what happens.
Well, Ben, thank you so much for joining us on The Daily this morning.
That's a pleasure. Talk to you soon.